Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Hello, welcome everyone to the Bank Marketing Show. We sure are glad to have you with us. As usual, we're going to dig into a topic of what we think is great resource and value to you guys as our listeners today. And Dan and I are excited about having some discussion here that that is applicable to just about everybody in the industry. And Dan, welcome.
Thanks, Chris.
Good to hear. And this is around the topic we've had a lot of case studies and discussions about with your agency and mine and the large spans of bank clients that we work with.
Yeah, I think it can all summed up to be, you know, don't just throw your money at Google.
There you go.
But definitely something, you know, a conversation I have with pretty much all of my clients that are running ads in kind of any capacity is this, you know, the point being what I mean by not throwing money at Google is don't just jump into ads. Don't just turn on an ad and expect it to bring a bunch of business in.
That's right.
So we're going to talk about, you know, how a better way to do that, a better way to run, you know, ads can work, but it requires some other thinking. So we'll get into that.
It does. And, you know, Dan, Google advertising, digital advertising in general, it is fairly new in the community bank, you know, industry and spectrum. Hopefully, you know, a number of our listeners have been into it for a few years and have some of the right strategy and other things that we'll talk about today. And we'll give our listeners some great specific takeaways today. You know, but it is fairly new. We're not talking about a new way to do outdoor or some other, you know, kind of methodology. This is something that I think from a compliance perspective, community bankers for a long time were kind of scared of it and didn't really understand that there's actually a great spanse of room, you know, to do Google ads, SEM text ads, you know, digital advertising within compliance, number one. And now everyone knows it's highly trackable. It's highly measurable. You know, it's all of those things which us marketing people love to be able to show and track through an entire funnel process, ultimately to a new customer, new loan, new deposit account, whatever the case may be, or also increasing share of wallet with current customers, right?
Yeah, no, I think Google Ads are great at doing all of that stuff, right? I think that's an important point at the end there of bringing new customers in, but also share wallet with current customers that already know about you. I mean, getting an ad out there, like I have a saying, like everybody Googles everything, right? Doesn't matter if they've been a customer of yours for 30 years, right? If they're deposit only and they're refinancing their mortgage or like vice versa, looking for a new deposit account, they're probably still going to start with Google. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of them will anyway. So you still need to be, you know, part of that conversation. But it's not, to your point, it's not as simple as just turning the ad on, right? If you want to be able to track everything from the ad click through time spent on website through an application funnel, you got to get that set up. You've got to, you know, think about how you're structuring your ads in order to track that entire funnel.
Yep. Well, Dan, so you and I began this discussion around kind of the premise and discussions that you and I have had with various clients and folks in the industry of instances gone wrong. Right.
Yep.
And kind of how it's been done wrong. So talk a little bit about some of that you've run into even recently.
Yeah, no, I have talked, and I'm going to sort of make up an example, but it's based on, you know, talking to a number of banks this year that have gone through something similar, right? It's the generic version of it is we ran Google Ads, didn't get anything out of it, mm-hmm. right? So I met with a bank recently that said they'd spent, you know, well into the five figures, $20,000-$30,000 on Google Ads in the prior year. Like they'd gotten approval from their board, created this ad budget. They hadn't done much digital advertising before. They said, hey, we'll put some money in Google Ads and see what we can do. Google Ads these days makes it really easy to just go in and they have a little wizard that takes you through and you pick some keywords and you write your ad and it spins up the ad and, you know, you put in a credit card. Same thing on Facebook. Like a lot of these examples can apply to Facebook too.
Yep.
Facebook will, you know, help you generate even an image-based creative or a little animated video. Mm-hmm. You upload your logo and it pulls images off your website and they make it really easy, but you know, that doesn't mean it'll work. So the bank spent $25,000 on ads over the course of a year. And, you know, I said, well, how did that work? What happened? I said, well, we have nothing. We have nothing to show for it. We can't track a single, you know, open account or loan application back to the ads. And we didn't have any changes across the year in our volume, right? Tracking is one thing. We looked at the, you know, the real numbers from the core and didn't see any change versus, you know, normal course of business. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what happens, right, in that situation is one, well, Google's happy to take your money. But two, your leadership, your board that approved all that kind of walks away thinking these ads don't work. Mm-hmm. You know, I was talking to another bank that's like, you know, we're not going to get a second chance for this, right? So then it becomes even harder to start doing digital. So I this particular bank, you know, started working with them to look at what are all the other pieces, right? Why didn't the Google Ads work? You know, one, you've got to kind of realize like every huge bank and lots of your local competitors too are doing lots of Google Ads. So, you know, if you're all the related stuff, and we'll get into this, call it the ad ecosystem. We'll get into the ad ecosystem a little later, but in general, if all the pieces of your bank that the customer touches after clicking on the ad aren't also competitive, you know, you're going to come off feeling generic, feeling customer's going to kind of think you're maybe outdated, maybe not relevant to them or not in tune with their needs. They're going to choose something else, right? Like it's easy to get in the mindset of when you're doing ads that, oh, this is a great, you know, set of copy and people will click on it. But people are doing multiple searches. People are doing clicking on, you know, lots of different links and looking at multiple banks all within a couple minutes when they're doing this.
I was going to say, yeah. And very quickly.
Yep. Yeah. 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 So the main thing is that it's not enough to just turn on the ads, right? You've got to have an approach. You've got to have a strategy. You've got to know, you know, be able to answer the question like, why Google Ads, right? Why that over... Mm-hmm. other formats. Yeah. Why that alone? Why not that in conjunction with other things like that? So that's kind of how I start thinking about it, or my response to the bank of when a bank comes to me and says like, hey, we spent this money on ads and didn't get anything. Kind of start the conversation there.
And Dan, another one that stands out to me very blatantly was a discussion that I was having with a brand new bank client of ours that we weren't doing digital ads for, we were doing other things for within the last couple of years. And we were talking about overall marketing strategy and started talking about digital ad strategies and what to do. And they kind of, it's kind of stopped me mid-discussion. They were like, yep, you know, we tried those Google ads and they didn't work. I was like, okay, so... Can you, I mean, if you don't mind, tell me a little bit, I'm curious, what didn't work well for you? Because, you know, we see it work well when done right. And this is a $700 million asset bank that's covering half of a southern state and spilling over into another one, okay, to set the stage as to kind of who this was. And they were like, well, we got approval and we put in $500 a month for Google Ads and we tried it for 6 months and just got nothing. You know, at which point I didn't want to insult anybody or step on a marketing person's toes or anything like that. But long story short is I was able to have discussion with them about spend level, you know, and what that is going to buy you. You know, it's kind of like in the outdoor ad world is saying, well, we tried billboard advertising and it didn't work. You know, well, you bought the smallest one that's tucked over behind the grocery store in the bad part of town that has three trees growing over it.
Right.
And you said, oh, we tried outdoor advertising and it didn't work. I mean, that's kind of the equivalent of a bank saying, oh, we tried $500 a month in Google ads. And like you said, we kind of put the coins in the coin slot and just kind of did, because it is, it's easy to spend money on Google. It's really easy to set up an ad campaign and get it going, you know, and same kind of lack of results that you were talking about from the conversations you've had, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah. There's tons of these stories, right?
Yeah.
I think, I know we've also, you know, we talk about this a lot, but like just the, if you're not thinking about all the different pieces, you end up with a, if you're not thinking about how your bank's unique, differentiated, you end up with trusted local, you know, and that goes on a billboard and then people just drive right by it. It's not, you know, you're trying to appeal to everybody. And so you are just kind of generically out there and, you're not breaking through the 10,000 other ads that person sees that there day. If you've got too generic of a message.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, it just comes down to like, it's not enough to just turn on ads, right? I mean, there is, you mentioned spend level a little bit. There's an element of, you got to spend enough to know if it's working. You know, if you just throw $100 out there, it's probably not going to do much. You don't have enough. It's not big enough to be like statistically significant.
Don't have enough reach, not enough bandwidth, not enough. Yeah.
You know, but as you're spending more, people will see your ad more often. People will start to learn your brand. And, you know, there's a kind of a multiplier effect. Right. And so spend level is one part of it. But, you know, there's also the, how do you kind of get into it, right? My board's never going to approve $5,000 a month off the bat if we've never done digital advertising.
Sure.
You can work up to that, but there's there's some strategy. There's some, you know, there's kind of some ways to do that. So we can get into that here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so let's kind of roll into that a little bit because, you know, you and I have, we're spread pretty far and wide in the industry, Dan, between your agency and mine. And we have a lot of these conversations. We come up with, you know, many, many, many stories about it done wrong. So let's kind of roll over a little bit into, okay, what does it need to look like? What is strategy? Where does it need to go? All of these things that I think are going to be kind of get into the value chunks our folks today.
Yeah. No, I think the biggest couple of things I think, I mean, the biggest thing that I think of is we want to run ads. We want to get on digital, right? Is to roll that back a step, you know, and first talk about, well, who are you trying to reach, right? Mm-hmm. Why? And if I get an answer back, like, well, millennials, break it down a little bit more, right? What's your bank specialty? You know, what does a millennial look like in your communities, right? Or is there a community, maybe you've got five branches, and one or two of the branches, you've pretty well saturated the community, you know, but the other three need some work. Like, how does that all break down? And, you know, do you agree? How do you think about that kind of targeting?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that. And who is it that you're talking to as specific as you can get? So, yes, maybe it's, you know, ideally you're trying to reach certain age groups. So you can reflect that in the creative. The way that you're saying, you know, things and kind of what you're appealing to. And another huge chunk of it, Dan, is not being all things to all people, right? Yeah. We've talked about it a lot on this show. I mean, all banks sell money. So, and you said it, what are your differentiators? What is it that you do? And I think to take that to a whole nother level when you're starting to get into digital advertising and spending money on Google ads and those types of things, if you're just offering banking services, that's not going to speak to the process that someone is in. And I know we'll talk a little bit more about keywording and keyword sets and those types of things as well, Dan. But you know, so is it right, or is it a HELOC? Is it, you know, an interest bearing account? Is it a what, you know, CD? Is it, what is it specifically, rather than just, hey, we're a bank? And that's right. Not, that doesn't work well in any type of marketing. You know, it, are there places for branding? Of course there are. And that's a huge part of marketing. And sometimes you do just need to have the logo out there on the fence at the baseball field or whatever the case may be. And certainly that is the case. But people aren't searching for general bank services when they're engaging, as you say, you know, kind of Google all things. One of the fairly recent stats that I heard was Google was 83% of the search market. That's a little bit of an outdated number. So I need to get a fresher number. But still, whatever it is, it's a massive part of it. And you're right. People Google this, but they're not just looking for banking services. They're looking for CD rate.
Yeah.
Mortgage right, product. Even, you know, check a student checking account. You know, whatever the spance is. So I think we have to get into that mindset from the very beginning, Dan, of who we're targeting, and even more specifically, who are we targeting and what are their needs?
Yeah. Now, right. And even the people that do generic searches like Bank Near Me, a lot of them have a specific thing in mind. Like, I'm looking for a CD, I'm going to search for banks, not search for CDs. Right. So, and we also harp on this in the show too, of don't, you know, be customer driven, not product driven. So, you know, it's also, yes, CDs are kind of a special case, I think, because sometimes it depends on your goal with it. You know, if you're using the CD, if you're using CDs as like, you're just gathering more deposits, you know, you might want to, you might get a little bit more product-y with those ads. But in general, it's, you know, in general, it's like, what problems are we solving and for whom, right? So you want to think about who you're trying to reach. You want to think about like how you're going to reach them. Is Google the right place? Or do they live elsewhere? Do they spend their time elsewhere? And what are you going to say when you do, right? So if you, for example, a while back, we were running a credit card ad and, you know, this is for a credit card company. It's not quite a bank, but it's a good example for this. You know, they were buying a lot of digital targeting data. So they had a cashback rewards card for travelers. So you get extra, you know, type of thing. You get extra cashback on flights booked, that type of thing. So they bought all this digital targeting data, or they're using all this digital targeting data to run the campaign. We honed it in. You know, we said like, hey, we're going to buy people that are looking to book a flight in the next month or two and target them with this ad for this cashback card. Mm-hmm. But then what happened is the ad creative, we did all that. The ad creative came back and it was just like the credit card name and cashback. It had nothing, said nothing about travel, said nothing about the problem. Targeting the right people, but then the message wasn't there. So they, you know, the last step is like, what are you going to say when you find these people? How do you speak to their problem? If that ad had just said, I don't know, X percent cash back whenever you book a flight, it would have gotten a lot more attention because you're targeting people that are about to book a flight.
Yeah.
You know, similar thing for any of your banking services is like, if you can really know who you're talking to, right? Not be everything to everyone, but be something really specific for a really specific group of people. Your ads are going to do a lot better.
Yeah.
And I think incidentally, that's another way to start small, right? If you're going to start with a $500 a month budget, do it for one specific thing for one specific group of people, you know, and then you can expand from there, right?
Yeah. And another piece of that too, Dan, that's you make a great point too, is be efficient with what spend that you do have. Even if it's a large one, you know, but if you are starting small and kind of walking before you run, then don't cast a statewide audience. You know, here's a takeaway tip is a lot of times we do radius areas from branch locations, you know, and that's a good way to be efficient. And I love the example you mentioned a minute ago. Maybe we've got five branches and two of them, we've got great market share. So we're trying to really grow the other three. Well, how about a 15-mile radius around each of those other three branch locations, you know? So to your point, who are we targeting? So what does the creative say and what is it about? Where we're targeting, you know, geographically, and these are all things that can be done within compliance, right? Yeah. I know some people are listening. Oh gosh, our compliance officer is never going to go for that. Well, yeah, they will, or they should, excuse me. you know, because there are lots of ways to do this. You know, there are what, 5,000 financial institutions in the US, and there are an awful lot of those that have been doing this and doing it well and doing it successfully and driving traffic, you know, and engaging new customers or growing current customers. So,
well, we've done, you know, we had a, we have a bank with a branch in like a fairly urban area, and 15 miles would have covered the entire millions of people in the entire city. Right. So, you know, even if you're, even if you've got that, I think we did a direct mail, we did a postcard campaign, and we just said, we want to target the, you know, 3,000 closest households to this mm-hmm. branch.
Yep.
You know, and you can't say because, you know, obviously with compliance, you can't say because you live in one of these houses, you get this special deal. It was a deal that, you know, anyone could have walked into the bank and gotten, but the postcard just went out to that group. And, you know, it worked pretty well, right? We got some traffic from it. We got some response from it. And, you know, it just, we were running an ad that wasn't just like, hey, we're here and we're local. It was, we know you drive by our bank every day. Isn't that more convenient than the bank that you have now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're in our neighborhood. We're investing in, you know, this major intersection that's like around the corner from your house. So that's good for you. Why don't you bank with us? That type of message. And, you know, we solved a, you know, a problem for a specific group of people, even with a postcard.
There you go. Well, so Dan, let's dive a little deeper into the customer mindset. I think that's where you were going. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's where I was kind of going was like, you've got to know who you want to reach and what you're going to say when you get there. But then it's also helpful, I think, to think about what the customer's doing when they're searching,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's not just, it's really easy to, when you're sitting in a bank, right? We want to run Google Ads, you go spin up the Google ad and it runs. But if you think about how people actually use Google, it can change the way that you set up that ad or what you say in the ad, right? So think about the mindset of that customer. Like think about your mindset, generic, you know, the kind of generic search mindset, mm-hmm. right? If you're ready to research something, be it like a financial product or, you know, I don't know, a birthday present, maybe you go to Google and you say like best birthday presents or best, you know, best banks near me.
Yeah.
You see a list, you click on a couple of things, you know, get to know the brands, get to know, you know, look at websites, but then maybe you go back and you do some more searches. You say, oh no, you know what? This isn't giving me what I want. I'm going to search for CD rates because that's really what I'm interested in. Or I'm going to mm-hmm. search for, you know, I'm a first-time home buyer and I would like to learn more of how much do I need to save? Do I really need to save 20% down? Or like, what's the implication if I don't? Or I'm looking for a VA loan or some specialty thing. And so you might, you know, the average person might do multiple searches, right? And you're certainly clicking on multiple links. You don't just see the top link, click it, fill out the form, and you're done. You're looking at multiple stuff.
Well, to your point, Dan, one of the things you and I were discussing leading up to this episode of the show was keyword sets. And again, Google ads are easy to set up, and they're glad to take your money. But you know, if you're buying into terms that are not specific to what it is that you're trying to be specific around, that's one thing. But you also need to cover enough bases, right? Yeah. In those keyword sets, so that if the only thing that you're showing up for is student checking accounts and they're searching for other related things and you don't show up, you know, amongst other competitors elsewhere, you know, for other significant keywords, then you're still kind of losing out. And that's part of the strategy as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, cover the bases, right? You know, the strategy may differ. If you're starting small, like maybe you're not. Maybe you're starting with a limited set because you're doing one specific thing. But in general, right, people are doing multiple searches on multiple terms, right? So if they see you popping up multiple times in those results, that's going to stick with, you know, they're not going to remember, oh, I saw this bank on this earlier search I did, but they'll just have some familiarity with the name. And they're more likely to click on your stuff, right? If you've done SEO, if you rank highly organically as well, below where the ads show up, it's gonna you know, fill a bigger spot in their brain as well. You're going to seem more relevant.
Absolutely.
You're more likely to get the clicks.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and Dan, I know in a moment, one of the things you and I wanted to cover is kind of that whole, you mentioned it earlier, that whole ecosystem and some of the things that, you know, it's like your marketing in general. If you're only using one methodology, yeah. you know, one platform like direct mail, and that's the only marketing that you ever do, well, you're missing out on, you know, it's not multiple marketing touches. It's not all those things. So, right. So Google Ads is not like the magic bullet. It's not the only thing. So there are other parts of that ecosystem. But before we go there, let's do this for just a moment. Let's hop over the fence. Let's say that as the bank or us as their agency, we've drilled into the target market or markets, who it is that we want to talk to. We've got our messaging down. We've got our geographies and our other, you know, the strategies done, and boom, we get a click. Okay. So now what? Let's talk about either things done right or done wrong on the other side of that.
Yeah right. I mean, you've got to go through the whole process that the customer would, right? See, kind of secret mm-hmm. shop yourself digitally. But so if you click on the ad, where are you taking the customer, right? The example I gave earlier, the bank that spent the $25,000 on Google Ads and didn't get much for it, that was the ad click through to the homepage of the website, which was, I don't know, 8 or 9 year old website that is out of date, doesn't work all that well. Like, you know, it kind of works on mobile, but not really. You know, their logo ended up really tiny, like mm-hmm. comically tiny on mobile, like that type of stuff where, you know, 60, 70% of your traffic is probably from mobile, right? People are doing this research on their phones. So, you know, what's going to happen then is you're going to see good click-through rate if your ad is good, but then nothing, you're not going to get anything out of it. They're going to drop off immediately. They're going to say,
that's right.
Oh, or, you know, they do a search, they click on Bank of America's site, they click on PNC or Wells Fargo or another competitor, they click on your slightly larger local competitor, and then they click on you. And if you're bringing them to that, you know, an outdated experience, they're just going to move on. They're going to say, hey, this thing's not for me.
Yeah. Well, and something else you mentioned in that too that's really important is where they're landing. So yeah. if they're searching for an interest-bearing checking account and they see your ad, you've said the right thing, you're talking to them and they click on it and you land on a homepage that talks about who we are and where we are and whatever the case may be, it's like, no, dang it. I was looking for an interest-bearing checking account.
Yeah.
So, right, don't throw me into the mix, throw me straight onto the page where what I am seeing instantly is information about that interest-bearing checking account. And then we'll talk about CTAs here in a minute as well. But right, so it's where...
The headline needs to tie right to what they clicked on. You know, they click on, we have great interest-bearing checking accounts, they click on that, and then the page they land on should say, here are our great interest-bearing checking accounts.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love what you said a second ago is experience it like your customer, right? So most of the folks in the banking industry and bank leaders that are listening to this show, you know, don't have 1978 shag carpet and totally outdated stuff in their lobbies, right? So the physical space when someone comes into our bank is important. We all understand that. You know, we don't want people with desks around the entrance areas that have totally junky desks and all that. I mean, you know, just all the things about environment. Well, all we're doing is just translating that into the digital world. So if they're coming to an antiquated website, like you described, that's not highly mobile responsive and, you know, doesn't very quickly deliver information in brief snippets that can be absorbed and acted upon quickly, then you've lost them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like walking into some retail store and you've got all these aisles that you have to go through that just can't, and I just want to get to the bread in the back. That's all I want to do, you know, and it's frustrating. And in the digital world, you got about a 2 or 3 count and they're
yeah. And in the grocery store, you'll walk to the back and get the bread because you're already there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to take you more time to go to a different grocery store that has the bread in the front. And you don't know where that grocery store is. But on digital, it's like, yeah, I'm going to hit the back button and click on the next thing. I'm not dealing with this. That's in a split second.
Or the impression of the brand, yeah. as you say, and brand with a big B, not how does your logo look? Maybe that's right. a small part of it. But yeah, what is the experience on that website? And did you come straight to a landing page that is effectual about what it was that I was searching for and, right. and giving me the solutions?
Right. What I'm searching for, some social proof, some element of branding that says it. Why? Okay, great. You have interest bearing checking accounts. That's table stakes, right? Yep. I know that you have what I need now. You know, great. The next thing I'm looking for is, do I care about this brand? Does this brand resonate with me? Can I manage that checking account online? You know, those types of things. And then it's like, well, are other people like me at this bank, right? Is this page a generic stock photo of somebody that clearly doesn't live in our town? Or, you know, is it something local? Do I relate to it? Yeah. So there's a kind of a journey that you take on the landing page, right? You win the eyeballs with the headline and it being relevant to the ad, but then you can kind of take them on a little bit of branding and story journey there. There's a huge opportunity to do that. It's not just interest-bearing checking accounts apply now. I mean, put a button there for sure. But like the next thing people want to look for is, who are you? Why do why should I bank here? What do you do for the community?
Yeah.
I bring that up just to say, like, that's where you're differentiating from the Banks of America.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you know, they'll say like, we build you up. They'll say stuff like that, but they're not really donating money for the rec center in your town, or they're not mm-hmm. building the, you know, wheelchair ramp at the VA hospital. Like, they're not doing those types of things in the community. But if you can bring that in, then the quality of your landing page gets a little less important if you've got a good story, right? You don't have to have $1 million website like your big competitors, right? You can build a landing page on, you know, a cheap landing page builder, and you know, but if you're differentiating with story, it changes that game a little bit.
It does. And then that important next step, Dan, is so the customer is there, you're telling that engaging story, and right, and you're differentiating yourself from big banks and all that because you're community present, you are, you know, you're about relationship, and you offer, you know, mobile banking, comparable tech, and all that other kind of stuff. So you're giving them the reasons. And, you know, then the important step there is calls to action. So, Dan, I love it. Sometimes I get lost in conversations with bankers and bank CEOs and C-suite folks sometimes, and I start talking about KPIs and CTAs and all, and they're like, what? And, you know, it's like, I forget, kind of like medical personnel talking, using all these lingo terms, like, okay, CTAs are calls to action, right? So once we've got them there, then it needs to be extremely easy for them to take consequential action, you know, for what they do, which is my favorite word in marketing, which is conversions. And here's an interesting tidbit for folks too. Google measures conversions because we got them from the ad to you. To the website, right?
Yep.
As marketers, I measure a conversion from that level to then either click to call, submit my email for more information, apply now button, whatever the, you know, and we have these spans of calls to action, you know, on that landing page that then allow them to take that next step or engage with you at bare minimum. In a non-threatening right. fashion, but to be able to do
in the format they want to, that particular customer.
Absolutely.
Yes. Right. So if you're running an ad to Gen Z homebuyers or whatever, a younger generation, and your only CTA is to call, you're going to miss some people, right? Yeah. Maybe you put the phone number on there, but, you know, so that they know you're available, but they want to chat or they want to just open an account. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it goes back to like the customer mindset and who you're trying to reach and why, and just make sure that CTA aligns with how they want to do business.
There you go. Absolutely. So that is that customer journey, Dan, that you mentioned. That's, you know, all the way from what we discussed earlier at the top of the funnel and driving them all the way through that process and getting true engagement conversions, you know, and ultimately that's what we want. We've actually shown customers. So if Google is saying these are your conversions And we're saying within the back end of the website that these are your conversions, which is a lower number. Well, that's part of why, you know, because you got them to the site and you lost them at some step, you know, in that process.
And the other point hidden in there too is the KPI, right? Like, I've also had a lot of conversations with banks that say like, hey, we want to increase our web traffic. So we want to run Google mm-hmm. ads.
Yeah.
Like, well, do you really care about your web traffic? Like, is that what you're reporting to your board? Is that, you know, is that bringing you return on assets? Like, is it really that or, you know, what's next? Right. So I'll do the kind of five whys thing and say, well, why do you care about your web traffic?
Right.
Right. Well, it's because like then people open accounts. Oh, okay. Well, you know why? Like, so the real KPI is the account opens or the loan applications, and so it opens up a conversation. Well, great. Now we're running Google ads to drive account opens. So that gives us something to track. That gives us, you know, maybe on your Google Analytics page we can track to where they click, you know, open account, and then we lose it in that account funnel. But then we can work with you to like get numbers from your end and you know, and tie the system together and really know what it's doing.
Absolutely. Or a lot of our you know, clients that we're managing their website, we're placing pixels in there for tracking, yeah. or you know, all those kinds of things that are letting us know exactly what that entire journey is and where are we losing them if we do. Yeah. You know, and then why. And then the ability to go in and morph that a little bit. Let's move the furniture around a little bit in the room to make it maybe more comfortable or easier to engage or adjust as we go.
You know? Yeah. Right. So. Every click you remove or, you know, scrolling you remove like increases your conversions, decreases yeah. the chance that they'll drop off.
Well, Dan, earlier you mentioned the entire ad ecosystem and we talked about that as well. And it's multiple marketing touch points and it's you know, meeting folks where they are across multiple marketing strategies and platforms. So maybe we can dive into that for a moment. You mentioned SEO, for example.
Yeah, well, I think it's just when you know who you're trying to reach and why, that, you know, then where you should be advertising and what you should be doing when you get there and what you should be saying to the customer when you get in front of them, all that falls out when you know who you're trying to reach and why. Mm. Right. So Google Ads is like usually where most banks default to, sometimes Facebook ads, but there's a lot of different channels, right? You know, a lot of banks have done newspaper for a long time, radio. There's a lot of different digital versions, right? You do, you know, streaming TV, streaming mm-hmm. audio, display ads, you know, mailer, like print mailers, all those things are on the table, right? So it's what do you, you know, what are the best channels to reach who you're reaching?
Yeah.
And that display or the direct mail campaign I mentioned earlier, where we, you know, sent postcards to the 5,000 closest households. We also did a banner ad, you know, layer on top of that, mm-hmm. right? Thinking, hey, the postcard only touches people once, but, you know, if we run, let's run display ads really heavily in that same mm-hmm. radius for 6 or 8 weeks beforehand and make sure, hey, they, you know, make sure most people in that radius have seen the bank logo 6, 7, 8 times, and then they get the postcard.
Yep. Right?
Then it's more effective. Same thing can be applied to Google Ads. If you, you know, if you've got analytics on your site, you can set it up to say, well, how many branded searches? If I'm, you know, First Bank of St. Louis, sorry if that's a real bank, just making up an example.
Right.
But if I'm First Bank of St. Louis, right, I might say like, well, how many people are searching for me? Okay, great. It's, you know, 500 people a month type literally First Bank of St. Louis into Google. But if you run a display ad, if you run some banner advertising or you're running a TV or radio with it, mm-hmm. you'll see those branded searches go up, right? Yeah. And so, you know, it's about kind of creating a layered strategy, right? Maybe it's, yeah, we're just going for conversions. We're going for those CD customers. So it's going to be heavily Google ad based and rate based. But hey, maybe you run a banner ad with the rates or something like that to drive some of that.
There you go. You know, and in the digital advertising realm too, a couple of the other important strategies around display ads and others that we focus heavily on in strategies is retargeting. So once they've been to that, you know, this is the Amazon strategy, it everybody's familiar with. You know, I searched for whatever, some kind of, you know, little file thing in Amazon 2 days ago, but I didn't check out and buy it. Well, then the next day I'm checking my weather app and boom, there's the ad for that thing I was looking at on Amazon, right? Well, so, and retargeting is, you know, something that once someone has been to our website and they were looking at information on student checking accounts, you know, then they're checking their ESPN app for scores, you know, the next day and, you know, show them an ad for that for your bank. You know, those types of things. I mean, it's all these strategies and behavioral, Dan, is another tactic and strategy around digital advertising that's very important. We did that for a client and we wanted to target people that had been searching on Zillow and Realtor.com and all that other kind of stuff and serve folks in that specific geographic area that were ages 18 plus, your mortgage ads.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it makes sense. And folks that are missing out on those kinds of opportunities in this day and age, I promise you, your competitors are doing them.
Right.
You know, or some of them.
Right. And then if you're doing it more specifically, you're spending less money on kind of the noise.
Yep.
And you have that goal in mind. You know, it's another thing, like that's a great example of another thing that falls out when you know why you're running the ads and who you're trying to reach. Mm-hmm. And then you can come up with these very tactical strategies that aren't just, you know, turn some Google Ads budget on.
There you go. Well, you know, Dan, one of the things that brought this up for you and I not long ago is I was visiting with a really great client of ours, and we were engaged in, and that's been a great client for many, many years, that we were engaged in discussing specific new strategies around digital ads and SEO. And the good news is they really understand the value of those. SEO is like relationship building. You know, it didn't happen overnight. I mean, that's a long process of multiple different things that need to happen on page and off page over time. And they understood digital ad strategies and how that could really work in their local markets and doing the kind of things that you and I have been talking about. And they were willing to have adequate spend, you know, on those. So we were there and we were really great. And then we started talking about where is this going and started talking about the website and CTAs and all that. And they actually took a look at their own website and kind of went, eh. Well, you know, and so the short story, Dan, is what it was, is it was an instigator for them with something they had been talking about. And we had been talking to them about as well for 2 or 3 years, you know, was our website is, you know, and Dan, you and I know antiquated can be 5 years old.
Right.
You know, in the web world. Well, theirs is, you know, a few years older than that. It's certainly not mobile responsive to the extent that it needs to be and all those kind of things. So they wanted to really do those more modern marketing tactics, but also had the willingness to look in the mirror and say, eh, you know, the customer experience is not going to be like we want it to be if we go do all this digital ad and SEO effort, you know, and spend money on Google ads and all this other kind of stuff and look at what we're driving them to. So that was the catalyst to go, you know what, you're right. You know, we'll do this and update our website and do that project first and then dive in with these strategies. And you know, the holistic outcome from all of that, Dan, is going to be the brand escalates, the digital ad and Google ad and SEO tactics are going to work way better. You know, we're going to be able to track that whole customer journey better, you know, and it's going to benefit, not to mention, you know, just the experience of their current customers coming to a new refreshed website and all these beneficial things. So I wanted to kind of mention that case study to our listeners. So wherever you are in that, or maybe you've got a great new website, but you're not matched, you know, now time to match it up with marketing strategies that are going to be of positive consequence. Or maybe it's, you know, very much about increasing share of wallet. So you really want to do these new things. So it all factors in together, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I think to kind of start summing up, like it's not that you need, you know, a brand new website and a huge budget and to be thinking through like all the different specific problems or specific, you know, customer segments you want to reach you don't have to start with all that at once, right? You can start with little pieces. But I think the main point is if you've got a plan, if you've got a strategy, you can kind of be, you know, you can think, it's thinking through the stuff is free, right? Other than the time it takes to do that. But you want to think through this, all this stuff, right? And then you can make an informed decision on, hey, we want to reach these, you know, 11 different segments, but here's the ones that are going to make the biggest difference to us and we think are going to be the easiest to reach, right? Yeah. So do we need a full new website for that? Or can we just build a landing page, right, to start and test it? Do we need a huge budget, or can we start with a little Google Ads, maybe some display, you know, what are the pieces that fit who we're trying to reach and why? Mm-hmm. So, start there. Don't start with putting your credit card into the ads, you know, Google Ads interface. Start with the strategy, start with the why and the who, and you'll get there. And then you'll say, hey, you know, like in your example, we want to reach this group. Our website's not up to par. We need to update that. But spending the money on the website is going to pay off when you start, you know, because whatever you're going to invest in Google Ads in the long run is probably going to end up being more than what it costs to put together a website. So get that fundamental stuff done first, and the ads that you run will pay off more.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and the last piece of it, Dan, too, is, you know, is having the right partner with this. So if you're a bank executive or marketing director or whatever, you know, your position is with the bank, and you haven't run Google Ads, you haven't placed display ads, you haven't done these, not only the strategies and all that other kind of stuff, we've mentioned it several times during this episode, you can jump in and do it yourself. You know, and Dan, I can change my oil in my truck, and you know, I can do some basic stuff too. But man, there hits a level there also that I might be able to figure it out. Man, I really need to pay somebody that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
And the investment in that is I'm not going to tear up more stuff, you know, and waste atrocious amounts of time.
Right. You could spend four hours watching YouTube videos about how to do it.
Yeah.
Right. But are you going to be as good at the optimization that comes later, or the, you know, the other little things that come later?
Yep. Engaging a good partner, you know, in that is well worth it as well, from strategy to implementation, for sure. Yeah. So, well, great. Well, Dan, I wanted to mention as well, I know that you, through your agency and we certainly do with mine, have got some blogs and some resources and some, you know, information that we're glad to pass along to folks. So if you've listened to this conversation today and you have questions, or you want to get into it, or you've done it wrong, that's okay. You know, so we want to invite folks, Dan, to reach out to you and I and go to the show's website through bankmarketingshow.com, and you can engage with us that way, either individually or both Dan and I. We're always happy to have conversations, you know, and relay information, kind of share experience, strength and hope about, you know, some things that can work for you regardless of your size and your place in your marketing process.
Yeah, and I'll plug our newsletter as well.
Absolutely.
We expound on some of the stuff we talk about here. Bank Marketing Minute. So if you go to bankmarketingminute.com, you can sign up for that, and then you'll get some emails with it. I also post a bunch of other kind of random thoughts and, you know, links to these podcasts and Bank Marketing Minute issues when they come out. So if you want to, love to connect, follow me on LinkedIn. I'll put the link in the show notes, but you can probably just search for me and come up. It's the benefit of having a unique last name.
Love to
connect with people there and, you know, chat about this stuff, even if it's, you know, you're not at the point where you're hiring an agency, but you want to just get some ideas out there, where both of us are happy to connect and help.
Yeah. Well, Dan, before this episode, you and I were talking about our entire purpose for doing this show, you know, is to be resourceful, you know, to folks in and around the industry. And, you know, that's what you and I both get a lot of our fulfillment and a lot of our why from. Yeah. So the offer to engage with us is sincere. So please reach out
Yeah, we have fun talking about this stuff. So
yeah, absolutely. So, well, folks, we appreciate you being with us today. Check us out on the website. We'll have more details in the show notes. Great thought there, Dan, about signing up for Bank Marketing Minute. And we look forward to, Dan, I know we've got some great guests lined up actually over the next couple of months that are some really dynamic experts in the industry as well. So looking forward to those with you too.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Have a great one, folks. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts. And join us next time.